Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
False start on me, hour two here of on WWL Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, Charlie Long at Master Control, taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk at text lines at 504-260-1870. Jonathan in Marrero. Go ahead, Jonathan. You're on WWL.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good, thank you.
All right, Jonathan.
I was calling about the player, I must say, formerly known as the Honey Badger. I got a new nickname for him. I like calling him the Possum. A couple of y'all guys are from the Bayou. You know, the Bayou. Y'all know what a possum does.
I sure do.
Spreading or scary. I mean, at what point do we cut our ties, cut our losses, and put somebody else in there and give him a shot? I mean, I don't think he's not only not playing good, I think he's become a liability more than anything.
Well, you look at P.J. Williams. P.J. Williams been hurt. So that was the safety. You look at the safety rotation, you know, with Marcus May, and then you got Tyrann Mathieu, and then you got P.J. Williams. So I think right now, I don't know about the future, but I think right now that Tyrann Mathieu they hope he's going to turn things around. He's the only one on the team that has two interceptions.
And that's the crazy thing. This year,
more opportunities. So.
Two interceptions. Two total.
That's it.
For this football team.
That might be the least amount.
I can't remember another year like that.
Right. In Saints history, you're talking about over half a century. So, yeah. I mean, right now.
You want to hear his contract breakdown, fellas?
Yeah.
Because
that determines
a lot of that.
Right.
A lot
yeah.
of this.
What about that? Christian, okay, let's say you're looking into the future. Like, it could be. Could he be like one and done? That's what I'm asking.
Well, let's find out. Let's answer it right here. All right. So his cap figure, his cap number this year is $3 million, 3.4. Not bad. However, because of prorated bonuses, et cetera, he would count for $18 million in dead money this year if you moved on from him right now. Next year, 2023. Let me bear with me here as I kind of pull it up here. Traquan Smith. I'm trying to find it because they move each year. Jameis Winston, Olave, Cesar, Tyrann Mathieu next year. His dead cap money hit would be $14.6 million. His base would balloon from $1.5 to $7 million. And his cap number would jump up to $8.9 million. So he's going to count for $8.9 million against the cap.
One way or another.
Yep. And then 2024, if we go further out, once again, trying to find his contract. Tano Passanio, it's not going to be there. Bear with me, fellas.
So is this too much of a cap hit? I mean,
$14 and $16 million? That's a lot of money to eat.
That's it.
I mean, right now, Teron Armstead is eating up $13 million of dead money. Here it is. Okay, so 2024 would be the year that he'd have to move on from a fiscal standpoint. It makes more sense because you'd have $5.7 million in dead money. You'd save $5.2 million in cap space.
So we got to hope that he maybe drinks a little bit of the Fountain Youth the rest of this season into next season from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, or you can just decide – hey, we're going to eat that money.
We're going to cut bait and eat the money.
Now, if you go back and play the whole June 1 casualty, if you designate him post-June 1.
Yeah, what is that number?
Pre-June 1. Let's go post-June 1.
Yeah, post-June 1. Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu, then that's the likely out that the Saints are going to have next summer is they'd eat $1.9 million in dead money and they'd save $7 million. There it is.
That's the trump card.
So when that'd be June of 23?
Yeah, they could cut them. They'd say to Donis, you don't have to cut them exactly after July 1st.
But the transaction officially won't be until June 2nd.
So I would think that Tyrann Mathieu would still be on the team when we have the draft come spring. And this would be after June 1st.
And you're still looking for a safety.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line.
You could cut them in May and decide and designate them June 1, post-June 1 cut.
So how about he just came on board? He ain't been much better. He don't have any picks. How about now? He's playing hard, I thought, the last couple of days. How about Marcus May? Well, what's up with him? Because that's one thing I always say this. We have taken a major step back. Mike, you know this. The consistent play we had, the combination with Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams, has been nowhere near that. And I think we're not paying P.J. Williams anything, so that's a bargain. I want to say he's like a $4 million guy.
All right, his contract this year, $1.3 million in base salary. He has a cap hit of $2.638, but because of the amount of money that you gave him over the life of the contract through bonuses, he would be a $14.5 million dead cap space this year. And then you'd save $11.861 million in cap savings. If you look at it, that was a well-done contract from May's camp standpoint, but is there more protection in the second year of the contract? And we can do the June 1 conversation
do that
too.
Yeah, well, what is that, the June 1? Because
that's where a lot of these decisions are made from. All right, here we go. His cap number next year would be $8.6 million. You don't even have to designate him June 1. If you cut him next year, it's $1.2 million in dead money, and you're saving $7.4 million.
Well,
I toggled off to the post-June 1. That's the June 1, post-June 1 cap figures.
Well, as of right now, I would say next year that we'll have two new starting safeties.
That's not good.
And think about
I don't know. I'm just
okay. You lose Jenkins to retirement. Marcus moves on. Big contract with the Ravens. And then you dealt the hybrid player in Chauncey Garner-Johnson, who's leading the NFL in interceptions.
So we're basically starting over on the back end. I think P.J. Williams is still that veteran, but he provides depth. But I even said this season that P.J. Williams, I mean, Marcus May, and if you look at Tyrann Mathieu, they haven't played necessarily better than him.
No, I think P.J. Williams, when he's healthy, he's played better than both of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't know about better.
Yeah, but it's all.
It's not a drop off.
Well, because I don't know, he gave up the damn touchdown against Tampa Bay.
Yep.
PJ, do you remember?
Well, all three of them haven't played.
Yeah.
So. None of them.
This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bobby, Mike, and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Mark Passwater is joining us now. Covers Texas A&M for Rivals.com. I have a note here, Mark, that says you're a big Star Wars junkie. With a name like Passwater, you belong in one of the movies. That would fit perfectly.
You know, hey, I'll take it. You know, hopefully I could be from a civilized planet, but, you know, depending on, you know, who you're talking to, that may not be the case.
What's going on in College Station right now?
It's not civilized, that's for sure. You know, it's a mess, and I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think you've got the perfect storm. You've got an unbelievable amount of injuries. I did the list last night, and it's 44 players that missed at least one game. A lot of veterans had been hurt, so you've had to rely on freshmen, some of whom weren't ready. The offensive scheme is just stale and outdated. It needs to be changed. You know, you name it. If it could go wrong this year, it has gone wrong.
Now, Mark, when you look at it, obviously everyone focuses on the quarterback position, and now they're going with Connor Wegman. But when you look at Connor Wegman, Haynes King, or Max Johnson, LSU fans familiar with Max Johnson, seems like no matter who they've had at quarterback, it hasn't quite worked out, to say the least. And I was looking where this caught my attention also, that they scored more than, in this day and age, you would think, well, this caught my attention, has scored more than 24 points just twice in 11 games. And they're averaging 21. That's what you'd want your defense giving up, not you scoring.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has been put in a tough situation because of the fact that they're just not scoring points. And you've got a triple whammy. You now have a freshman quarterback playing behind a very bad offensive line. And the scheme is just so outdated. And Jimbo's been running it so long that teams know what's coming. I mean, you go back and take a look at the South Carolina game, especially. That was where it really became obvious, where their corners were just jumping routes because they knew it was coming. And this is something that's just got to change. And I think that get a good look on Thursday, or not on Thursday, but on Saturday night, because that's not what you're going to see next year. There's going to be an awful lot of changes coming.
Mark, I was talking to a college head coach, and he says, you know, we're walking on new ground now. You know, with this transfer portal, name, image, likeness stuff. And he said, I'm interested to see what happens at A&M this offseason. You get a number one recruiting class. How many of those guys are going to stay for this?
They're going to stay because they're getting paid or what?
Or do they say, you know what? Man, I'm not sure about Jimbo. Because we are living in that world where it's new thinking on how things are done, and maybe I'm in the wrong spot. If I'm not seeing a lot of action, is it a lot of tag out? He brought up some good points about it is the unknown of what happens in college sports today. But he said, man, it's the big test. With A&M, because most teams that have a top recruiting or top two or three, they're winning, they play in a bowl game. That's not the case with A&M.
Well, there are a few things there. One, that a lot of them have gotten a lot of playing time. But some of those guys that are going to look in the portal to go somewhere else, what have you proven that you can really that makes you a starter anywhere else? You know, in the case of most of those guys, not much. There are a couple of guys that may as well be in the portal already because they're not coming back. They know it. They're not welcome back. They've been problem makers from the word go. And I think you'll see some of them go. But then, you know, if you want to just get real cynical and kind of smart alecky about it, who's going to outpay A&M?
Yeah.
I don't see anybody right. doing that, especially for somebody who hasn't really proven that, you know, they're the quality product that they're projected to be.
Jacoby Matthews, and man, I saw him play so many times at Ponchatoula, just a great player. Sort of give a a recap of his freshman season for A&M?
Well, he's been one of those guys that's been thrust into the fire. He's played an awful lot. He didn't play last weekend because he was so banged up, and it was UMass, so some of those guys sat. But, you know, he's one of those fellows that got thrust into the fire maybe before he was ready. You've seen some flashes of that extremely good talent that you saw at Ponchatoula. You know, but you've also seen situations where, you know, hey, welcome to the SEC, freshman.
Yeah,
we're gonna pick on you. And that's happened. And that's happened not just to him, but it's happened to a lot of guys. So, you know, it's been an up and down season, but I've seen enough where, you know, Damani Richardson's going to be gone next year, but Jacoby's going to be one of those guys who's going to be looked to fill that void.
Now, Mark, what is your take looking at this is impressive. That looking at the Aggies defense amongst the FBS leaders, ranking second in this day and age, you know, everyone passed the football and giving up only 152.5 yards passing per outing. Now, I know they've intercepted just four passes, but is that because maybe they feel like they can run on A&M more? Or what's up with that? Because I thought only giving up 152 yards passing, that's impressive.
Yeah, it has been, and they've got a very good secondary. Guys like Jalen Jones and Tyreek Chappelle are some of the best cover corners in the conference. But doesn't really matter when you don't have to throw, you know, and that's been the issue.
Right.
You take a look at, you know, the games like Ole Miss, where if you get a stop, if you just scheme it right and you stop Jackson Dart from running up the middle on 3rd and 12 once or twice, you win that game. If you can slow down Jahmyr Gibbs once or twice against Alabama, you win that game. But that's the thing. People are just lining up, going right at A&M with the run, and, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I expect LSU to do the same thing because, you know, you look at it, A&M's going to be putting an awful lot of those freshmen out there.
Yep.
Because the upperclassmen are all hurt and gone for the year.
A lot of people bring up Mike Elko and his impact at A&M as a defensive coordinator. And, you know, Mike's now at Duke. Your thoughts on the loss of Mike Elko, because, man, he came in there and sort of changed attitude, philosophy on the defensive side of football. Now, I know it's really offensively, that's all Jimbo, but Jimbo sort of let Elko do what he wanted to do on defense.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Jimbo has the Joe Gibbs approach to defense, which is he walks over to his coordinator and says, stop him.
right.
Outside of that, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of input. I mean, Elko did a phenomenal job. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, they were a top 20 defense 3 years in a row. They were tough against the run. You know, the secondary was good. You know, DJ Durkin, at least in my mind, has been a bit of a disappointment, because even though the Aggies have kept scoring somewhat down, you know, the secondary's been very good. They don't turn the ball over very much. They haven't gotten a whole lot of pressure. And, you know, I think that he tries to get too cute. You know, like last weekend against UMass, which is just a terrible team, he had one of his defensive ends standing up as a middle linebacker. and I'm just thinking, you know what? You're not operating your base four very well. So why are you messing around with this? And, you know, going out against run-heavy teams like Ole Miss in a 3-1-6 or something ridiculous like that, or 3-1-7. I mean, it was just, it made no sense. And there are times when they go out there, they play very well in the base four-man front in a 4-2-5 like they did with Elko. And then he just goes out there in a three-man front, and guess what everybody does? They go, oh, thank you, and they run. it happens over and over and over, and it makes you want to tear your hair out.
Now, Mark, when you look at a proud fan base and a lot of resources, that being the Aggie Nation, and one of the best events I ever went to was on a Friday night pep rally. I thought, like, I went there with Childress, you know, about as good as it gets in A&M history with the old Houston Oilers, and I was astonished how, you know, in sync, and you have cheerleading practice and all that. Are they still into cheerleading practice? Are they still showing up on Friday night to get ready for the 6 p.m. kickoff on Saturday? And how is the fan base? Are they ready to run Jimbo out of town? Or how are they? Because I know, listen, the fans want to be in that number. They're going to show up. But they have to be like almost in a state of shock what's occurred this year.
Well, first off, it's Midnight Yell, and yes, everybody shows up for Midnight Yell. You know, but Jimbo has certainly lost a lot of support this season. You know, the insistence on running his scheme has been a problem the last two seasons. It's absolutely backfired this year. He's got to make changes, and he knows it. You know, I think that he would, if he didn't have that massive contract, he'd be in a whole lot more trouble. But let's keep a few things in perspective here. This is a man who won a national championship. He won 29 games in a row, and he took A&M to its best season in 70 years, two calendar years ago. So let's not put the cart ahead of the horse here. If things continue to be bad, then you make a move. But right now, there's too much invested in him. There's too much money. And honestly, the track record does not indicate that this is something that will continue. So they've got to make some changes, especially on offense. There's going to be a new offensive coordinator. There's going to be a new offensive line coach. Things are going to change because they have to. You know, what they do outside of that with the transfer portal, I'm absolutely fascinated to see. But don't expect A&M to look like they do right now this time next year.
Mark Passwater is covering Texas A&M for Rivals.com. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
No problem, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mark.
Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast is next here on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Saints and Niners in San Francisco Sunday, 3:25 kickoff. And if you watched the 49ers last night, you had to walk away very impressed with their win. They've won three straight. Eric Crocker joining us now, Locked On 49ers podcast, former NFL and arena cornerback. Eric, man, it looks like the 49ers are starting to hit their stride right at the right time. This is where you want to get hot in the middle of November.
I think this is the 49er team that a lot of people were expecting to see heading into the season, and started off a little rocky, losing to the Bears, losing to the Broncos, a couple games they had no business losing, and just about a month ago, losing to the Atlanta Falcons over in Atlanta. But right now, it seems like they're hitting stride at the right time.
And, Eric, it seems like the one constant, though, and the only thing that sets them back, maybe, you know, injuries on both sides of the football, but it seems like they're really rolling right now defensively.
Yeah, they're firing, man. And D'Amico Ryans, I think, since he's shown up as a defensive coordinator, because a lot of people don't realize this, but he's been with this 49er team as long as this tenure has been there. So 2017, he showed up with Shanahan and those guys. But he's done a terrific job just putting guys in positions to be successful. They've had a lot of injuries over the years, and he's done a really good job of putting the right people in place to make sure that they're as successful as they could be. And I think we saw that on full display yesterday. Now, you also played against the Arizona team that is kind of fighting with one arm behind their back. They're not as healthy as they can be. Same thing with the you know, the Rams. That was one of the games the 49ers just played. The Chargers, they had a lot of injuries. So they've had a little luck on their side as well during this stretch where they've played teams that aren't as healthy. And we'll see what happens heading into the Saints game if they're a little healthier and maybe make it a little bit more of a football game.
Elijah Mitchell's a guy I saw at Erath High School in Louisiana, and then he goes to University of Louisiana, has a tremendous career there, has had some injuries, but he's back healthy, and we saw him full display last night, him and McCaffrey in that backfield, a 1-2 shot, and then you throw in Deebo Samuel. But a little bit about Elijah and what he means to this offense.
Oh, man, he's good, and they missed him. You know, he got hurt in the first half against the Chicago Bears, and he was running well, very well. And he ended up missing, what, the next eight games? So now the last two games he's been back, and he's actually led the 49ers in rushing both games, even with Christian McCaffrey being there in the backfield as well. So that shows, you know, how explosive he can be. And, you know, I asked the question, a lot of 49er fans, you know, you're really excited you get Christian McCaffrey. My whole thing was, how much better can Christian McCaffrey be than Elijah Mitchell to justify giving up a second-round pick, third-round pick, fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, and pay him $12 million each of the next 2 years? I think that just goes to how highly I view Elijah Mitchell and his ability. But he's different than Christian McCaffrey. I think they complement each other extremely well. He's going to run really hard. He's going to put his foot in the ground right now and get north right away. And he has a really nice initial explosiveness that I think you've seen really in both of his games since coming back from his injury.
Now, Eric, what is the take, I guess, from the fan base or from the players within the locker room? It seems like just from an outsider looking in that the team just seems like they're all in with Jimmy G. It's not like the hell with Trey Lance, but he's out of sight, out of mind. He's not here. But what is the mindset like where the 49ers are at? Because even if you look at like the Eagles record and where Dallas is at, and then even look at the Vikings record, the people, you know, fans around the country always say, yeah, but the 49ers in the postseason. And I think they're, you know, confident, the fan base. Well, Jimmy G could take them there, but what is your take on the fan base and just the teammates like Jimmy G versus Trey Lance right now going forward?
And a little bit on that kind of long term, because you know Jimmy's going next year. How confident is this team in Trey?
Right. So a couple of things there. One, I think is if you ask most people from the fan base, it's probably a little bittersweet, right? Because you want to get things rolling with Trey Lance and see him heading in the right direction. And you know the big time upside that he has and ability. And you see the throws down the field and him using his legs. And then, boom, you lose him. And then you have to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's like, oh, man, you got Jimmy G. Same old, you know, kind of shell up sometimes in these big moments. But I think right now it's very reminiscent of the Alex Smith, and I'm not comparing Trey Lance to Patrick Mahomes. Think I'm doing that. But just that situation where the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes, and next thing you know, Alex Smith has the best year of his career. And I think we thought we would see that from Garoppolo last year. We didn't, and maybe some of it had to do with some of the injuries he had. But this year, I think right now, especially over the last few weeks, we're seeing the best version of him. So the players in the locker room, they've always been behind Jimmy Garoppolo. They love him. They've been to war with him. They've been to battle with him. They've won a ton of games with him. And a lot of these guys were there when things weren't great, or even know what it's like when Jimmy wasn't playing in a couple of these years, and you just lose a lot of games. So I think the team, the players, they're all in on him. As far as long term, it's going to be really tough to retain him because Jimmy Garoppolo, they can't franchise tag him.
Correct.
So there's no trading tag. They can't trade him. They can't do anything with him. I'd expect him to reach free agency, and I think there's going to be a team that doesn't have maybe a younger, talented quarterback kind of like Trey Lance in the waiting wings that's going to be like, look, we need a quarterback like Jimmy now, and they're going to offer him the world, and the 49ers won't be able to match anything like that.
Man, we got a lot of respect for Fred Warner as a linebacker. I think he's one of the top three guys in this business. But Greenlaw, man, can he play? That guy, he flies around the field. He's got great instincts to the football, but it's just his movement skills, side to side, to get around would-be blockers. Because he's not the hugest guy in the world at playing linebacker. Boy, he's just got a knack for getting around the big men and getting to the ball carrier.
So, you know, it actually started with Quan Alexander. And I know Saints fans are very familiar with Quan Alexander. Y'all signed him after he had an injury and whatnot. So Quan Alexander brought this certain, fire to the linebacker core, just this certain fire, this swagger. They had these hot boy T-shirts. Like, they were all in on that, and Quan brought that. Well, Fred Warner has since carried that tradition on, and he's that fiery guy. He's flying around. Well, Fred's not the only one that benefited from that. You see the other linebackers, Dre Greenlaw, Azeez Al-Shaair. There were people last year questioning, is Azeez Al-Shaair better than Fred Warner, you know, and I never questioned it.
Whoa.
But 49ers
no, I wouldn't
did,
either.
So, yeah, that just goes to show, like, how well this linebacker core plays. And they're not big, the biggest of guys. I think Fred Warner's pretty big, but all these guys, I think except for Azeez, played safety in college as well. So Fred Warner, he played safety. You have Greenlaw.
Greenlaw played safety. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Aziz. So those guys, they fly around. They cover well. They keep a lot of things in front of them. And they play with this really nasty mean streak. I think Greenlaw specifically, he can be a little undisciplined at times. But I think almost like your kids, right, you can have a couple perfect kids. But there's going to always be that one that does things the way they want to do it. I think that's Greenlaw in this group, where he can get a little wild at times and have an uncharacteristic penalty that you don't like to see. But you can never question his effort or anybody else's in that linebacker court.
Now, Eric, before we let you run, I think they're about as good as it gets in the National Football League when healthy. And everyone, they would start for every team. Listen. I like Kelce with the Chiefs, but I want you to comment on what George Kittle brings to the table and also Nick Bosa. I just think, I don't know, that they're as good as it gets, no matter what team you look at it, that they're that dominant. Now, you got to have luck with injuries or stay healthy, but Nick Bosa and George Kittle's as good as it gets.
Man, you see George Kittle last night, and, you know, he has, what, four catches for 80-something yards, a couple touchdowns. You see the run-after-catch ability, and I think the frustration with him is not even so much him, it's just his target share. Now, the 49ers definitely have a lot of weapons, but I don't care about any of that. You have to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands. And when you go back to the Chargers game, he only had two targets on the entire game. One catch, two targets. I think that's inexcusable. This game, they did. They definitely were more conscious of giving him his opportunities. And then you see what happens. You have the explosive plays. And, like, I would go up to Kyle Shanahan and, like, dude, target him more. Force it to him. Kind of like what you see with Travis Kelce. The 49ers just don't do that with him. I think they need to do that a lot more. And you see more big plays and explosive plays in this offense. Then as it pertains to Nick Bosa, I mean, he's just really good. And I remember him coming out of college. Everybody knew how good he was. You know the bloodline. You know his brother. And it's weird how he wins, because he's not this, Von Miller, bursty around the edge. He's going to bend and sink almost touching the ground and then pop up and sack a quarterback. But he's just so good, and he's so consistent, and he just wins reps at a very high rate. He has a really high motor. He was a guy that's kind of like born to play defensive end, and maybe that's because between his brother, his dad, I think he has like an uncle, like all those
and
guys.
His uncle, Eric Kumaro. Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just groomed to play the position, but he does at a high level, and now he's facing a lot of chips. You know, everybody has to account for where Nick Bosa is. They put running backs to his side. They line him up right next to him. They chip him. They make sure they get a piece of him. And even then, he's been able to still generate a decent amount of sacks this year. If I had to guess, I'd say he's probably top three in sacks in the NFL right now. And that's with all the attention he gets. So definitely Nick Bosa is a really good player. Listen, I don't want to act like the 49ers are this perfect team, but I know the frustration, especially early on with some of these slow starts, has been, man, they got all this talent. How are they losing these games?
You guys were banged up, Eric. Right now, I apologize. I apologize. We're really short on time. I got to jump in. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
Right, Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers Podcast. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. I want to clean up an erroneous report that's circling around in the market. Another media outlet, I'm not going to call them out, but they report that the Week 15 game versus the Falcons in New Orleans, the date has been set, and that's not accurate. It may turn out to be eventually, but there hasn't been a determination. But the report also adds that it could be on that Saturday, Mike, instead of a Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's not accurate as of right now. They have not settled on that.
It's nothing settled yet.
No, if the teams are relevant, but that's all they control.
Yeah, and they want relevant games and watching games, so it could be an afternoon game. It could be moved there, but somebody leaked that from the league office, and somebody got wind of that. That's how it starts.
I have the most optimistic text going forward as we're going to play the 49ers. You know, we basically almost double-digit underdog, but hey, anything can happen. You never know. It says this is from 68-18 or 68-18. Bobby, I think the only way for the Saints to make the playoffs is to continue to use that quarterback, Taysom Hill, along with Andy Dalton. Our defense is good enough to win. Your thoughts? I think our defense got to get a little better.
You got to get turnovers.
But yeah, but I like that formula. Andy Dalton,
I like it too.
70%, and you got Taysom Hill 30%. I'm telling you, mix it up. That's
their advantage.
Who says you can't have a two-quarterback system if everybody's all in? Andy Dalton don't have a problem with that.
All right, that's a wrap for our first 2 hours. And Mike DeTillier's portion of the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. All right, see you all tomorrow.
Sports Talk rolls on here. Willie Fritz, big win over SMU this weekend. Or last Thursday, excuse me. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.